It is a foggy morning today. Be safe on the roads. I mean, look out the window. You can barely see. You can't even see the buildings over there.
It's soupy.
Soupy, John.
Yeah.
Much like the gap between Michigan and Michigan State right now.
It's a little soupy.
Yeah.
A little foggy.
Hard to judge. We asked you guys to put a number on it. How many points are these two teams separated by if they were playing this week? I'll give you the early responses, John. This one says, the difference is third downs. Michigan kept getting into third downs and blowing it. MSU would not convert those third downs. Ticket Texter says 3 to 3.5 points for home field. So Michigan is a 9.5 point favorite in their mind if they play today.
I mean,
you had 10.5. I had 7.5.
Yeah.
We're all in that range. Mm-hmm. More than a touchdown. You got them up to double digits. Texter says, for both teams and what I've seen so far, it would be Michigan laying 6.5 without the rivalry. Because it is a rivalry, 2.5. Mm. It could be a nail biter.
It certainly could be.
Cookies, your high Fresno would be 7-point favorites against MSU right now.
But it comes down to execution. And we didn't see Michigan execute much of anything. Again, it was against Texas, who is maybe has a Heisman Trophy winner as, you know, probably three receivers are going to be playing on Sunday in the near future. Defense that is tough. I don't think it's a great defense for Texas, which is why it was so disturbing that they couldn't find any sense of rhythm offensively for Michigan.
So when we entered the season, nobody thought Michigan would lose to Michigan State.
No.
I mean, other than just there's always somebody. And the fact is, right now, there's some doubt. Michigan, it would not surprise you, Michigan State, based on what we know and what we've seen. I will say this, you do your overreact gyms segment on Mondays.
My what now?
Overreact gyms.
No, it's the other thing you said that I never mind.
Yeah, I know. Now you got me off track. Way to go.
Wasn't even me.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not doing
the other thing on Mondays in the studio, just to be very clear.
I think there might be a little overreacting on both teams from last week. You know, the theory that Texas is really the first or second best team in the country, and that's what made Michigan look that bad. Michigan improves their third down defense just a little bit as we go on. That's going to make a huge difference. They got to get something going offensively. I'm not making excuses for it because with this offense, every team's going to be in the game with them.
Mm-hmm.
But also overreacting to what State did, I'm not taking away. It was a great first step for Jonathan Smith, especially after the first game. But, I mean, they beat Eastern Indiana. You know, Maryland gives up points, like, all the time to everybody. And anytime anybody thinks Maryland's any good, somebody goes in there and beats them, okay?
Well,
pump the brakes.
They beat September Maryland.
Right.
Which is a juggernaut.
Yes, exactly. Look, I think we get to tell next week. I think Michigan State even losing a competitive good game at Boston College.
That's two weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And then Michigan, USC.
Two weeks.
If Miller Moss comes in here and pulls a Quinn Ewers, they're in big trouble. Because it's one thing for Quinn Ewers to do it with experience and playing in these environments.
Yeah.
For Miller Moss to come in here and do that, no.
And
now, if Michigan were to lose a very close competitive game and you see good things... But it shouldn't. If it looks anything close to Texas, they're doomed.
Well, that's a DEFCON situation because USC is a quote soft program. If they come into Ann Arbor and Michigan hasn't gotten tough enough up front to win that game,
But again, coming into the season, that was the perception that USC was a soft program. I don't necessarily think that now.
But Michigan should be a tougher program, even with their
losses. There's no question.
So if you get worked on your home field by USC. If you can't bully them.
See, I see USC as being an added opportunity. Nobody thought, they weren't including that one in the, you know, when everybody said, oh, well, maybe you're going to be 9-3. The three losses were Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State.
Yep.
Now, you've got to account for USC. It's not just going to be, hey, we're going to score a bunch of points because they don't play defense. They're replacing Caleb Williams. They can't protect the quarterback. Like, all of those things, at least through 2 weeks, have been addressed. And I mean, are they a top 10 team? I don't really believe they're a top 10 team. But it creates another opportunity for Michigan to make some corrections, find something this week against Arkansas State, build a little confidence so that you can play a much better game against USC than you did against Texas.
I mean, to me, this season is a bomb if they're not better than USC.
Right.
Michigan.
Because you're an 8-win team, which is what we were discussing yesterday, how the win total has changed. I feel like what could have been a 9, maybe a 10-win team is now an 8-win team in Ann Arbor, whereas MSU, we're going, can they get to 6 wins? The Maryland game may be the swing game where, yes, they can get to 6. Now maybe 7. Maybe they get a program win and even get to 8 in year 1 for Jonathan Smith.
Well, and there's, I mean, you could use the term, it would be an indictment on the program, because USC, we're talking about all the things that Michigan lost. Michigan didn't lose a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
They didn't lose the number one overall draft pick, you know, even though he didn't look good in his first game. He was a talent.
Yep.
No longer at USC. If they're able to replace their quarterback, they're able to build their offensive line and find a defense, it would be an indictment on Michigan's program.
So we'll keep taking ticket texts comparing the two programs. The gap, how large is it from a point standpoint if the two teams were playing this week? 248-539-9797. Also want to talk about the Tigers, and I stress want to talk about the Tigers. I saw some photos from the game last night, and this may be a fool's errand. I'm excited about what's happening. We're officially in a playoff race here. Crowd last night was a little sparse. We'll see what we get on the phones here, but I want to know what you guys think of this baseball team. I have a label I'd like to place. I'm getting Team of Destiny vibes. I have a team that I can't explain, and I think this is reminiscent of a team that just doesn't make sense but wins anyway. John, they're 19-9 in the last 30 days. That's not a hot weekend. That's not a favorable matchup against a patsy on the schedule. That's 19-9. They have a top 10 offense in September, a top 10 pitching staff in September. And in the last 30 days, they're throwing guys like Brant Herter, Brennan Hanafy, Sean Gunther, and Brian Sammons out on the mound. Who are these people? I have reached the conclusion that I have to throw logic out the window because it doesn't make sense, and I'm left to conclude there are Team of Destiny vibes with this baseball team.
I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
What would it take? Yeah, we played the game with what's a playoff race. When would you believe they're a Team of Destiny if they were in the playoffs?
Well, you would have to then consider, is it their destiny?
How else do you explain this?
Well,
because I'm having a hard time explaining this.
So that's why I'm having a hard time of even wrapping my mind around the fact that they could be in the playoffs, because logic tells me, now I know it's been a month, group effort days aren't going to result in a lot of victories. Yet, it has.
Right.
And, I mean, Parker Meadows coming up from AAA, is it going to be fixed? Well, it has. Spencer Torkelson, well, I don't know if it's fixed. It's better. Jace Young coming up has been productive. Colt Keith has been much more reliable. Is this simply Scott Harris's smoke and mirrors or tricks? Or what he said, is it actually coming to fruition and paying off? And if that's the case, it's not destiny. It's just time.
But we see these teams in sports that they're you can't explain it. They're unexplainable. That they get hot for seemingly no good reason. I mean, these players are young, unproven bats. These pitchers, you would look at their names and these aren't major leaguers, and they're throwing them out there and cobbling together an ERA in the month of September under 2. I don't understand it. So I do have to conclude that there's just something at work here. That vibes have taken over. They just feel like a team that's willing themselves to victory most nights.
I think it's a team that's young. They don't understand. They don't know that they're supposed to be losing, and they're just going out and playing. They're not playing with any pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they miss the playoffs, they're supposed to miss the playoffs. They're just going, they're a team that's going out and they're playing loose. That's why when you look at what they did at the end of last year with Spencer Torkelson, he was doing it because there was no pressure. At the beginning of the season, there was some pressure, and it all disappeared. Parker Meadows. Like, I don't want to put them in the same boat, but they kind of are, because they both went down, they both come up when the season was pretty much in the tank. Now, I know it's not necessarily, quote-unquote, in the tank anymore, but they also only have 17 games left, and they're still down 3.
The playoff percentage is 10%. I get it. I do. And maybe that's the hang-up. Maybe that's why the crowd is still tepid. Right, the buy-in isn't all there yet. While we set the line at 3 games to get in, maybe people just aren't there yet. I don't know. Maybe they were watching the debate, protecting their cats and dogs. I don't know. Where are you at with this baseball team? 248-539-9797. We want to get your thoughts on whether or not this has a team of destiny vibe, what kind of label you would put on our baseball team, and if you're buying in at all. Maybe you're just in football mode. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And with all-day IPA, here's what you get in your beer. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone at your tailgates and on game days. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
How about the Tigers? It's 97.1. We'll get your ticket text, your phone calls in the mix. When you launch a show, it's kind of like a relationship.
Yeah.
And John, we dabbled with a safe word in the summertime, mm-hmm. and I want to put a label out there. I don't know where you stand on labels. But I said team of destiny. And some people are eating this stuff up on the ticket text. It just feels like the unexplainable is happening with our baseball team. When you're throwing out minor league relievers, and that's been the glue keeping this thing on the tracks, when you're 19-9 unexplainably the last 30 days, it doesn't feel like a flash in the pan. It feels like something else is going on here. There are team of destiny vibes with our baseball team.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of labels. I'm open to it. I'll have an open mind.
Okay.
I don't think I'm ready to say this is a team of destiny because I think some things, I don't know that we could predict them. I think the front office was predicting Parker Meadows being better, Spencer Torkelson being better, Cole Keith being better, Jace Young actually producing.
Parker looks like the guy they expected him to be, the leadoff guy to start the season.
Yeah. I mean, he's been good. I mean, you know, in two innings last night, you get four runs. First four runs, he's got two of them.
Yeah.
You know, was it second or third pitch of the game? He goes
second, I think,
yard.
Yeah.
And then the speed that he has on the base path, he's exciting to watch. And in center field, he can make any play.
Guys, the Tigers are fun right now. Playoffs or not, they're in the entertainment business, and they're doing that right now. 19-9 is crazy. If they can keep getting hits, they'll make it. Game changes in the playoffs, though. Well, it's one step at a time. Reminds me of the Major League Baseball movie. Who are these effing guys? Yeah. I mean, you look around and go, who are some of these dudes? And they've made it work. Look at the standings. This feels like when the Lions fought back to get to 9-8 2 years ago. Looked a lot better since then. Yeah, no kidding.
We talked to AJ. I mean, I wonder if he's getting the Major League vibes.
A little bit. Is there a Jobu statue in the locker room?
Or a poster?
This one says, I'm willing to call this team a team of destiny if they play well in the 9-game stretch coming up with Baltimore and Kansas City. That's when we'll know if something's up here.
That's where logic tells me that at some point it's just not going to be enough. It's 3 at home against Baltimore, and then it's 6 on the road. 3 at Kansas City, 3 at Baltimore.
Team of Destiny cookies? I hope Gibby's listening right now. Who are you? I can't explain it, so I'm trying.
I go, you get Gibby pinned on you. Like, there's just no thought to ever that Gibby would call because of what John said. It's what Cookie said.
No, I was the jerk, I know.
You're always a jerk. No, seriously.
He's like the smarm emanating from my radio. I have to call in.
Doing the math, and that's where everybody's always had a problem, that we called them fake contenders 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And doing the math. The math now is, what if this happens? The Twins finish 8-9, and the Tigers finish 12-5.
They're in.
Is that reasonable? Not reasonable, but not impossible.
Yeah, I mean, the odds say 10%. That feels low to me. I'm not telling you they're definitely getting
right.
in. I said vibes, team of destiny. To me, it's much higher than 10% based on what we're seeing right now.
Well, okay, so is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? I'm not willing to answer that one yes at this point.
I'm not either, because it's just what the 12-5 finish, and with what I said with the Twins, that gets them in by one game. That would mean the Tigers would finish the season 31-14. That is extremely difficult to do in this sport. It's almost not who they're playing, John. It's the probability in baseball of continuing to play at this stretch unless you're a super dynamic, talented team. And they're not that, no matter what anybody says. Are they growing? Yes. Do they have a future? Yes. But this is like being in St. Louis in April of 2021 when the Blues got into the playoffs after they had the worst record in the league on January 5th, and they took it, they ran it all the way to the end.
What you're describing, what
it's not impossible in sports,
and it'd be TOD, it'd be Team of Destiny. Let's get to Devil. Great word choice here in Madison Heights. What do you think this is?
I just think, hey, how y'all doing this morning, by the way?
Good.
That's good. That's good. You know, I don't think it's, I'm not going to mark it as a Team of Destiny. I'm just thinking, like one of you all said earlier, they're just young enough to not know any better. Plus, and this is a big plus to me, I think starting with AJ and then the coaches in the minor league system, I think they're just really good at instilling in them, just do what you do. Just work at what you do every day. Only work for today. Don't worry about the future and take care of itself. And I think they're just totally buying into that. All the way from eight ball down to the major leagues. I just think that's what's going on. So they're taking care of today and not worrying about tomorrow because that will take care of itself. You know, because now me personally, once the trade deadline came, I looked at it and said, like, we're not going to do nothing this year. We're going to do it next year. But lo and behold, they started piecemealing the pitching staff. And, you know, everybody started coming into their own. So I'm still looking at it like they're playing with house money, you know. So, yeah, you're right. They are going to be loose. And so and when they have that attitude of let's just do our business for today, you know, be it the game or practice or, you know, everything like that.
Yeah, I like the phrase.
Don't worry about it.
I like the phrase house money. I think that house money is kind of the way these guys are playing. We'll get an idea of the mindset when we have Tarek Skubal on at 9:35 this morning.
Yeah.
We got time for one more. Kim, you're next up, and Lyndon, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to speak to the people at this station. I'm a diehard baseball guy, always have been since I was a kid. Beginning of this season, talking to lots of friends, I was uttering the phrase that so many people have, I want us to be playing meaningful games in September. And here we are. And it's exciting to me. I never give up on them until they're mathematically eliminated. And it just seems like they will not give up. There's no quit in these young guys. I don't turn off the game until it's over, unless we're down by 10. And it's just exciting, and I think, and I've heard a lot of people through the course of the season calling for Hinch's head. I think he's been a master craftsman with this team. I mean, he's seems like at times he's held it together with chicken wire and duct tape, and I feel like he's done a great job, and I'm just excited to be where we are right now. I don't know about destiny. I hope that's the case, but it's just an exciting time for a baseball fan in Detroit.
It is, and to play meaningful baseball in September with what the Lions are doing, we're in a sweet spot right now. Now, obviously, we'd love to have them in the playoffs, but to have the race, have the chance, they're not mathematically eliminated, so there is a shot at something better than we thought this team was capable of doing.
Again, part of the argument, I know it's only 10%, part of the argument for them getting in is you face the White Sox the final three. You're three back. You feel like you're really on the line right now. You've got the Rockies the next couple. Beat up on them. Make up a game here this week. Put yourself in a position to make the playoffs down the stretch. And they don't know any better. It does feel like it's kind of that young, dumb innocence of just go out and play baseball.
So how about here's a label for you. Baby steps. You know?
It's not as exciting as Team of Destiny, John.
No, it's not. But if you're talking about, hey, in this series, can you make up one game?
Sure.
Can you just make up one? It's a baby step. It's baby steps for this organization.
If they win their next two against the Rockies, which I think they have to pull this off,
yeah,
and the Twins just lose tonight, we come in here Friday morning, they're a game and a half out of first place, or out of the wild card, which is just insane. All right, just put it on the line right now. Plant your flag, and we're not going to hold you. It's no big deal. Come the Monday or the Tuesday of the last homestand, they start that three-game series against the Rays and then three against the White Sox. Will they be two games or less within?
No.
Yes.
I think they have to be two to have a chance because they don't have the tiebreaker.
Well, I think they have to be, yeah. I just – I don't have the faith that in that 9-game stretch, they're able to win enough.
When did you become such a Debbie Downer?
I know. I think I picked the under at the beginning of the season, too, which I'm happy to say I'll be wrong on that. At least I think I'll be wrong.
Yeah.
How about
You're
this one?
You're looking at a guy who would love to be wrong right now. Please give me playoff baseball.
Tigers make the playoffs or Michigan scores 40 points in a game this year.
This is time for a commercial break.
John, as a matter of fact, it is. Couple quick ticket texts. You guys can call in 248-539-9797. I'm buying the Tigers, all caps, going to the game tonight. Can't wait. We're so close. Mike in Ferndale. Another one says, this is a team of destiny. Last night, another example of why you got a pitcher going complete game. The vibes are immaculate with this baseball team. Another one says, team of destiny. I love it. I put money down at plus 50,000 for them to win the World Series. That's from Rob. Reminder, bet responsibly. All right, we're getting a little hopped up this morning. It's fun. It should be fun. We'll get more of your thoughts on this. We have the power surge before the hour ends. It's 97.1.
Hey, NFL Week 2 is here. It's hard to believe Week 1 is already in the books. And you can still start the season with the big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you're going to get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And Week 2 starts tomorrow night. Thursday night football, Bills at the Dolphins. Check out Dalton Kincaid, anytime touchdown. This is a SGP you could put together. Tyreek Hill over receiving yards. He's on fire already. Josh Allen over passing yards. Probably not going to run a lot, so he's going to have to rely on his arm. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this NFL season. FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, I got some rapid-fire ticket texts on our Tigers, Team of Destiny vibes, question mark.
All right.
Power surge before the hour ends, Sharon Moore at 9:02. Phones to get to, Heather's news, all of it. This one says, speaking of Major League, are you guys saying there's a pinup of Scott Harris inspiring this team to greatness right now?
Well, it was...
It was the owner in the movie.
The owner, yeah, and I'm not sure that's any better.
This feels like the Wings. There just isn't enough season left to dig out of the hole. Now, the difference is the Wings were nosediving. The Tigers are on the uptick. It's just a question of, are there enough games left for them to get in? All of this is not giving up on AJ being the manager. He's done a great job keeping them together. Has Cookies taken a strike away from Scott Harris? Mm. Signed, Dave. Mm. I feel like if they make the playoffs, it's a classic Miguel Cabrera check down to first base on appeal. It's a ball.
Yeah.
We take a strike away. I take a strike away.
Or do you just give them a ball? Like you have balls and strikes?
Yeah, so it'd be a 1-1 count if they make the playoffs.
Oh, instead of a 1-2? I mean, you give them two strikes.
No, it'd be a peel down to first. That was actually...
Oh, so change it. Yeah, it was actually...
Yeah, you change the call.
Check swing.
Yeah, change the call. It's actually a ball, 1-1 count. Yeah. But they have to make the playoffs. Because if they fall by three, then I could smarm it up and say you could have added a bat and the whole thing.
What if they make the World Series?
I don't know. Then he hit a grand slam.
let's not get carried away.
Have a pinup of Scott Harris in the studio.
Oh,
all right. 2-4-8-5.
Oh, why? Why?
Josh and Warren, you're on 97.1.
Hey guys, I believe it is the team of destiny, and a simple fact is, in 2019, the Nationals started 19-31. And I don't know if the Tigers ever got down 12 or what is it, 11 games like that. Maybe. I don't know if they were 11 back or 11 under 500. But they climbed out of that hole and finished the season with 93 wins, I believe. And they went on to win the World Series. And a team like that rode the back of Max Scherzer. We're riding the back of Tarek Skubal. It feels like something's going to happen. And I know the tiebreaker's gone and Greg told me, but I feel like us losing 163, we're going to tie or we're going to pass Minnesota on the last day and everything evens out in life and we'll break their heart and get over the hump on the last day of the season. It just has to happen.
Revenge.
There's too much going on with this team. There's too much togetherness, and it is something where you're watching it where you're like, this doesn't make sense, so that's why it's happening, because you can't explain it.
So you
can't explain how guys that are below 230 career hitters are just raking. Pitchers that shouldn't be on major league rosters are destroying other lineups, and it's just happening. It's just it has to be something has to give, and that's what it feels like with this team, to where it's finally clicking. And why not us?
Why not us? Starting to say it. 11-0 win last night. Still three games back, but they are in the thick of this. They are officially in a race, and they're interesting. Are they a team of destiny? Ticket Texter tries to explain this, John. Do you make anything of this theory? What about their record since Javi Baez went away? 12-5. Trey Sweeney's played well. There's no black hole in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting at least a little bit of production at the plate.
And again, he's been more than a little lately.
Yeah, equal production in the field.
Ticket Texter says their concern is Skubal will only have one start during the Baltimore-Kansas City stretch that we've referenced, that nine-game make-or-break stretch. He will throw just one time. It's going to put this hodgepodge of pitchers who've continued to shine to the test.
They got to go with the Jansen plan.
They're not going to. He's not throwing today. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on with us.
You know, it's eerie when you really dig a little deeper into the 2022 Lion comparison on this. Like, I know people always want to hitch on to something like that. There's a lot of symmetry, because the turning point was July 2nd when they were 9 under .500. That's kind of where the Lions did it in their season, sort of, you know.
Is 9 under .500 similar to
1-6?
1-6?
Yeah, like, and probably not as deep, you know, on a numbers game, but the turning point in the season is before the All-Star break, before the halfway point. And the scary thing here is, as I told you guys this earlier, I feel like they're barely going to run out of games. Like, if they played 170 games, I think they'd get in. And I feel the same way about that Lion team that year.
There's one more week.
And they lost on a tiebreaker.
Yeah. Okay, here's an interesting barometer, okay? Heather, is Colin paying attention to this yet? Is this on his radar?
No.
Okay. Well, we wasted the last 40 minutes of radio then. Sorry to everybody.
I know, but you also have to understand, we've got a really busy life right now with two little ones. And no, it's not on his radar at all.
Well, listen, I think we've gotten good engagement on this. But like, I looked at the ballpark last night and I go, I don't know, are people bought in yet? Colin is a sports fan, but he's a Lions fan, so he's all in on football.
My gosh. It's stupid, his fandom for the Lions. It's a little ridiculous.
Is there room for the Tigers in his heart? Like, if they were to win a couple more, any chance we get Colin on board?
There's room. There's got to be some room there.
Boo.
He just needs
I'm
to find the
Boo
time.
On this.
I know.
You know what? I had a 2-year-old and an infant when the Tigers in 2011. So
get it together,
just,
Colin.
Yeah,
step,
I guess.
Step up, Colin.
Oh.
Get up on that step stool. Yeah. Step up. You can do this. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
So Tyreek Hill wants one of the officers involved in his detainment on Sunday to be fired. He released a statement. He made it through his lawyer, and he said that we are demanding for the immediate termination of the officer that was placed on administrative leave. We are of the opinion that the officer's use of force was excessive, escalating, and reckless. We are demanding that the officer be terminated effective immediately. Now, we have learned a little bit more about that officer. His name has been released. Danny Torres, 27 years in the force, so he's had that job for a very long time. Now, Hill's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, also called for the officer to be fired on the Dan Le Batard show on Tuesday. Now, according to the police office, it sounds like this guy is still on administrative duty and there is still an investigation underway. So the second most popular sport in the entire world has a new home right here in Metro Detroit, or will have a new home very soon. Officials in Troy broke ground on a new cricket field. And officials say that the project has been 20 years in the making and something residents have been asking for. And now, thanks to community support and a $900,000 allocation from the state, it's becoming a reality. They say it's going to be the first field of its size and kind in Southeast Michigan. It's going to feature a full-size field with a scoreboard, dugouts. There's going to be a screen wall, a hybrid pitch surface as well. And they say it is expected to be playable by the spring of 2025.
confession. I have no idea how cricket is like scored, played, any of the rules.
No.
But if there's people want to do it.
If there's enough people and it's they want to do it, go for it.
There's wickets and stuff. Have fun.
I don't know anything about cricket. I know nothing about it, but apparently there is enough demand. But there are some people who live in Troy that say, hold on, $900,000 for a cricket field. We could probably have used that money somewhere else.
I know cricket is a top 10 episode of Bluey.
Okay, Greg.
Yep. Dads know.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Listen to this. A Purdue student started his junior year off with a bang after he won a free 2-year car lease in a field goal contest during the team's season opener. Right. How cool is this? Right. You go out there and he had the opportunity to win money and also this car lease. It was called Kicks for Cash. So he first had to make a 20-yard field goal, won some money for that. 30-yard field goal, won some money for that. And then he had the chance to do a 40-yard field goal. If he made that within the time allowed, he'd win this car lease. And he did it. He made this 40-yard field goal, but he got screwed out of the deal because the dealership pulled out on a technicality. Well, they emailed him and sent
rules
him
are rules.
Video. The video, like multiple angles of his kick, showed that he was 0.05 seconds too late. Like the ball left his foot.
Yeah.
Just
so.
Not even a second.
I don't think it's a technicality, and I don't think he got screwed.
0.05 seconds. Not even half a second.
He took his time to line up the kick. And he just took too much time.
And the thing is he did walk away with a new lease because the dealership, it was more the insurance agency that kind of was like, we can't do this. The dealership said, no, we're not doing it. But a different car center came through and gave him a 2-year lease on a Chevy Blazer. So he's got one. Yeah. Somebody else is getting some publicity and kind of stepping forward. But
John, you are such a stickler. 0.05 seconds.
Well, I mean, it's like, not a technicality. It is, if he hadn't taken his time to kick it, Greg.
John, I generally agree with you. However, don't be the bad guy if you're a business. No, just don't be the bad guy.
I agree.
And they let a competitor swoop in and steal this guy and the PR.
From a business standpoint, that's fine. But from the rules of the competition,
but
it's not a technicality.
Imagine how much you're analyzing. You're watching all, I mean, 0.05 seconds?
Insurance companies do this all the time.
Gosh.
Here's what should have happened. They get the ref out and they get under the little review booth and they say it's too close to overturn. We got to keep it. Call in the field stands.
We got reviews on sideshows.
I'm imagining someone at the dealership doing the Leo meme during this. No, he was late. Yeah. Doesn't count.
Well, in the moment, did he think he won? Like, he got an email later.
Yeah. The email game's came over. After the fact.
The game's over. I'm sorry you missed the call. The game's over. I won the car. Can't do it after the fact. Sorry, your team actually lost.
Yeah.
Tether with the news. Power Surge is next, 97.1.
You heard me talk about injury attorney David Femeninio, and I've been talking about him for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for a client. You need an attorney and a team that will fight relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. You can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.